Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Good afternoon. Along with Anthony Herron, I'm Mark Grody. We are in for Lawrence Holmes today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Coming up in this hour, we will speak to the former NFL safety Solomon Wilcox about the National Football League and the Bears. We will definitely hear from Bears running back David Montgomery.
Definitely.
Substance-filled, well, if I don't do it at this point, that would be a horrible moment for me walking out of
it's
here.
It's been getting teased since yesterday. Yeah, folks are definitely waiting for it.
It has been discussed since yesterday, so a very honest and substance-filled 2 minutes with David Montgomery will be coming your way very shortly. Also today, we will do transition with the McNeil and Parkins Show, and today playing the part of Danny Parkins, is that his name? Yeah, Danny Parkins, will be Nick Shepkowski. So it'll be Shep and Mac today on the McNeil and Parkins Show. So Shep is in for Spiegel. He's
Papa
in for
Shep,
me.
As I like
he
to
is,
call him,
yeah. Yeah, Pop, yeah. Papa Shep. Yeah, we forget, you know, so much attention to what's going on with Danny Parkins that sometimes we forget that there is a Peyton in the life of Nick Shepkowski as well. So those two cats will join us towards the end of the hour, and I'm definitely looking forward to talking about the National Football League, because one thing I'm looking forward to as far as the Bears are concerned, Big Ant, is the splash. Because one thing about Ryan Pace, the general manager of the Bears, is that he's not afraid to gamble to make a splash, as is evidence with Khalil Mack, and even to a lesser degree, and a much different degree, obviously, with Mitchell Trubisky in trading up to do that. He does things, sometimes they work, sometimes they don't work. And the Bears are still at a point right now where they need a splash, because, as we talked about a little bit yesterday, they have to protect what is still a championship defense, a defense that can still get you to the playoffs, and you need to complement that with something on the offense, and not necessarily just with your two picks in the second round, but in free agency, taking a chance, rolling the dice on somebody like Hunter Henry in free agency. And I know that you're concerned about his injuries. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people will say, too, and it is true, that the Bears, they're not exactly rolling in cash at this point as far as the salary cap is concerned. But that's where a general manager has to get creative.
Right.
And as long as you're in a window where the defense is really good, you've got to do dramatic things to make the offense better.
If the Bears were able to make a move to bring in a Derek Carr, I think that would be not only realistic, but I would be excited about that.
Yeah, okay.
I think a Teddy Bridgewater, especially with Drew Brees now saying for sure that he plans on continuing to play. Now, he will be a free agent, so we'll see. But the assumption I'm making and others are making is that he will return to New Orleans. Matthew Stafford got bandied about with the potential for him leaving Detroit, but there's a lot of cap space that the Lions already have tied into him for this coming year, regardless of whether or not he continues with them. And Matt Patricia needs to win, so if they oust Stafford, unless they're going to get Tom Brady to Detroit and get him to play in a dome or something like that, it doesn't seem likely that Detroit would make some kind of move to get rid of Stafford. But if they did, if the initial reports about Stafford potentially being dealt from Detroit were true, then that to me would be another exciting name that Chicago could potentially bring in and start over Mitch Trubisky. I think beyond that, I don't think a lot of the other names are realistic. I don't think Tom Brady's realistic. I don't think Drew Brees is realistic. Phillip Rivers, to me, I don't think, whether realistic or not, that wouldn't excite me for where
like
he's
38.
At as a player.
I don't like 38
at this point in his career.
Yeah.
And then some of the other younger guys, I don't see Andy Dalton as a definitive upgrade on Trubisky. I don't see Marcus Mariota as a definitive upgrade
Absolutely
on Mitch Trubisky.
Not.
So the names I list, and Derek Carr, Teddy Bridgewater, maybe not Matthew Stafford, I don't think is realistic, but if it happened, that one, I think, would be one that Bears fans should be excited. But those would be sort of the top of the totem pole for what feels like potentially realistic. And I think the most realistic of those would be Derek Carr and Teddy Bridgewater from a financial and just an age and experience standpoint, where you're saying it looks like those guys are upgrades over your current quarterback, who also would financially work out. It would be worth, like, Bridgewater may be looking for a little more then you might definitively want to pay in addition to your former number two pick going into the final year of his deal. But I think that would be worth it. Cam Newton is certainly a name that's out there. I think Cam is still going to be looking for top dollars, a former MVP from just a few seasons ago. And if he can prove he's healthy, it doesn't sound like he's going to leave Carolina anyway. And I don't know that Cam Newton fits what Matt Nagy really wants to do with this offense anyway. So that's why Derek Carr, Teddy Bridgewater are the guys that I think are really within the Bears' wheelhouse, both schematically and financially, that I think Bears fans should legitimately be excited about if that happened.
Teddy Bridgewater, 5 starts for the Saints in 2019, as in last season, 9 TDs, couple of interceptions, a 65.2 completion percentage. How about one name that I don't think you mentioned right there was Jameis Winston, 26 years old. We know the story, the 30-30 guy, 33 TD passes, 30 interceptions, but he did have 5,109 yards
30-30
passing.
30-30 in baseball?
Yeah.
Muy bueno.
Right.
30-30 in football? No bueno.
Yeah, but you know what? The thing is, 33 touchdown passes is damn good.
It's a good number.
You know
number.
What I mean? Like, you can,
very talented passer.
You can exactly look at him positively as you can negatively, because 33 touchdown passes is really good.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I feel like he's still like I definitely look at Jameis Winston, and I still don't know that he's a finished product.
I think that's fair. I think that's more than fair. Yeah. And if they brought Jameis in, then I think that would probably need to be more of a public QB competition, because any veteran, let's just assume that the Bears are going to do what makes sense. Chase Daniel will no longer continue as the number two quarterback. They're going to bring in someone else as either the number two or as the presumed starter over Mitch Trubisky. And let's say that they don't bring in, like, if they bring in an Andy Dalton, I could see them saying, well, it's Mitch's job. We're just bringing in another veteran backup. If that were the case, then even if they don't state it publicly that it's a quarterback competition, that's what it is, because you would be adding a different veteran to that QB meeting room who could potentially beat out Mitch Trubisky, whether it's because they've outperformed him early throughout the preseason process or if it's because Mitch just doesn't continue to progress. If that's the case, then I don't think they need to state it publicly that the job is open. Job's going to be open as soon as they bring somebody else in here. So I think that's something that should be understood from the Bears' perspective. They might say, after they bring this veteran in, Mitch is still our guy, Mitch is still our starter, this dude's the backup. But unless you bring in, you know, some USDA prime QB beef, then the job is going to be open for competition. It may not be for the opening game of the season, but I think you're going to be looking at a pretty short hook for Mitch Trubisky if they do bring in another competent veteran backup.
I think he gets Mitchell Trubisky is, like you said, I think he is the starter in game one for the Bears this year. I think he gets 3 games to show he can do it. And if it looks like it did last year and to a similar degree 2 years ago, then, yeah, you go with the backup in that case. So that's the way I think it's going to go down. And I also think that you're absolutely right that in order to get Teddy Bridgewater to sign with the Bears at this point, you know, Teddy Bridgewater has earned his way back into a starting role in the National Football League. And, you know, whether it was the injuries with Minnesota that affected him while he was there, and then he showed in a small sample size in an excellent system with New Orleans that he is a competent quarterback, one who can still be a starter. It creates a very complicated situation in order to try to seduce a guy to come to the Bears at this point. I think a classic backup quarterback, and one who maybe we still don't know quite what this guy is capable of doing, would be Case Keenum, who, you know, 2017 was his year with Minnesota. He had 14 starts that year, 22 TDs, 7 interceptions. He had the 16 starts for Denver a couple of years ago, 8 starts for Washington last year. I mean, he's got like competent backup quarterback written all over him, right, with a small chance that he could still be a player for a starting gig like he was in 2017. So he's the safe pick for backup, but that's not a dramatic signing.
And I'd be cool with that. You know, I don't think you bring in Case Keenum and say that's our starter, but if you bring in Case Keenum and he is Mitch's backup, then that's the type of name where you say, all right, you may be starting off as the number two, but we have seen several other times, just like Ryan Fitzpatrick, a.k.a. Fitzmagic, several times throughout the career of Case Keenum at this point, where
Trubisky
the starter...
Trubisky Magic!
Doesn't have the same ring to it.
Tony X said
but
that one
where
time.
He's able to actually go out there, and once the starter isn't performing well, to go in, snatch the reins of that job, and do some nice things. He's, in my mind, not the long-term fix for the Bears at QB, but that's all right, because right now, in what we're hoping will become a championship window over the next couple of seasons, with this defense still at the heights of its power, then you don't necessarily need a guy who's your long-term fix. If you get to a point where you feel certain within the Bears brass that Mitch is not your long-term fix, then in Case Keenum, to bring him in as your number two, if Mitch isn't rolling, then you got a guy who has been able to roll in the National Football League. Why Derek Carr, why Teddy Bridgewater topped that list is because they're still at an age where I don't think we've necessarily seen, like, I think we've seen the ceiling of Derek Carr before his back surgery. He hasn't gotten back to there, and he's still at an age where I feel like there's a chance he could get back to that. Teddy Bridgewater, still at an age and a level of experience where he could still ascend from where he's at this point in his career within the right infrastructure. Case Keenum, his ceiling is fine, and I wouldn't have a problem with them bringing him in, but he's not the answer for the future of the Chicago Bears. But I think that would be a nice signing. Ryan Tannehill's a name that some texters have put out there as well. I do believe we've seen the ceiling of Ryan Tannehill. It's a pseudo souped up Mitch Trubisky. I mean, I just think the Titans put Tannehill in a position where they didn't ask him to do nearly as much as the Bears asked Mitch to do last year. But if you bring in a Ryan Tannehill and say that's our starter, okay, cool. You know, go for it. I don't know that I don't necessarily think he's a definitive upgrade over the quarterback you had right now. If Ryan Tannehill was in the situation Mitch Trubisky was in last year, I don't think he looks very different than Mitch did.
Interesting. Yeah. So then, and that said, for Trubisky, I mean, we talked about it a million times here. You've got to allow him to do less. You've got to take some of the pressure off of him somehow, some way, and that is to rebuild the offensive line. I don't know, rebuild is the right word, because you still have some made men on that offensive line for sure. Improve, add depth to it, make it a force, make it the focal point of your team, because then maybe you can't do all the fancy things that Matt Nagy wants to do, but maybe you can get down the field in a lot better shape. This segment is being brought to you by Campland RV. RVing buying made easy. It's Campland RV's annual RV open house, Feb 21st through February 23rd. Don't miss your chance to receive discounted RV show prices on select models. Call us at 219-787-1040 or visit our website at CamplandRV.com for details. Campland RV, RV buying made easy. Mark Grody, Anthony Heron in for Lawrence Holmes here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. One QB name that we haven't mentioned yet, and this would have to be accomplished in a trade, is the 2017 Super Bowl MVP, and that's Nick Foles. Been a little bit injury prone, and one thing that stands out about Foles, what I didn't realize in doing a little bit of research on him, that this will be his, this year coming up, this will be Foles' ninth year in the NFL. He has only had double-digit starts twice in seasons. And both of those, one was with, St. Louis. I don't know where the other one was. But in other words, and was it Philadelphia? I guess that probably would make sense. In other words, he's not necessarily, even though he's got one really huge accomplishment and he thrived in the Philadelphia system, there's no doubt about it. It sounds odd. He's not a proven commodity as a starter. So it seems like a nice fit. Like, Nick Foles does seem like a nice fit with the Bears. But I don't know if he is a legitimate starter. That makes sense or no?
Yeah, makes perfect sense. That's where, and it's odd for him at this point in his career to still be viewed there in his development, because he has had some of those magnificent accomplishments while he's been with the Eagles. That one season he put together where he had like 50 touchdown passes and negative 2 interceptions or whatever it was in Chip Kelly's first season in the league. That was really very, very impressive. And then from there, he kind of fell flat. It was a dud after that. Then he went to St. Louis, and things definitely didn't go well with Jeff Fisher as his head coach in that offensive system. Then he has this rebirth when he returns to Philly. Now the Jaguars have all this money invested in him, and a lot of that money is still guaranteed. So even to extricate him from Jacksonville will be difficult because the Jags have their money in him, and the new team's going to have their money in him as well. So that's going to be a tough one for Nick Foles to no longer be with the Jags. If it happened, though, that would be another, I think, upgrade as well, but it's the financial end of it where I don't include him on that list because I don't think it's realistic for him to come here to Chicago.
We're going to take a quick break right now. When we come back, either Solomon Wilcots or David Montgomery. I promised NFL talk in some way, shape, or form in the next segment here on Chicago Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
670 The Score. Along with Anthony Herron, I'm Mark Crotty. In for Lawrence Holmes here on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, McNeil and Parkin show is coming up in the bit. We will do transition with Dan McNeil and Nick Shepkowski. In for Parko today, David Montgomery for the Chicago Bears last year, 242 rushing attempts, 889 yards, 6 touchdowns. He ran 3.7 yards per play on the season, and for the most part, it felt like a lot of times a big time struggle for David Montgomery and the running game in general. And it was at the end of the season that I got a chance to talk to David Montgomery about his year. And like I kind of built yesterday, Montgomery is a guy who is a man of few words, or at least he was for most of the season. Kind of hard to get to know him, but I did get to know him a little bit and got a better feel for what he's about and how he actually felt about the 2019 season. And I started talking to him about how hard he is on himself after games.
All the time, just because I want to be one of the best, if not the best. You know, I know it's early for me. I don't want people to kind of like jump ship on me like he's not good enough or he can't. I just want to be able to get the people, you know, what they deserve and get his team what they deserve, too.
It matters to you what people think.
For sure, because they pay for it, like entertainment, they pay for it to see me go do good. I feel like I didn't do that a lot this year.
You never want to go down. Is that where that comes from, too?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I would say so. Just Walter Payton used to say, you can die, but don't die not trying. I want to be able to like give my all and show everybody like I can do it.
This offseason, then, is it clean the slate for you?
I'm going to probably go somewhere by myself, probably like out of the country, and, you know, just buy some water and reevaluate myself and just write for a whole week. and get back and just grind, put my head down, and, you know, not on no social media, nothing. And just, you know, I kind of like block the world out so I can just get better.
That's Bears running back David Montgomery now heading into his second season. That sounded very soothing. Just watch some water, do a little writing, get your mind right. You can die, but don't die. Not trying, as apparently Walter Payton said. It's
according
pretty cool.
To David Montgomery.
Yeah.
Walter Payton via David Montgomery.
Yeah. I
mean, probably loosely quoted to some extent.
Hey, that's all right. It's a pretty. Yeah. I'd never heard that quote. It's a pretty cool quote right there. And I know that from the second that he was drafted out of Iowa State, Big Ant, you were high on David Montgomery. Has anything changed after this season for Montgomery as far as your evaluation of him and your ceiling for him?
Not yet, because the skill set, the tools that I saw coming out of college, I feel like they're definitively there. He was not a burner in the Big 12. He wasn't a guy with that fifth gear that some of your home run hitting running backs have. So I didn't expect that. And his ability to not only elude tacklers but to run through contact, that's there. The tackle breaking numbers that are there, and that's one of the things, you know, with Pro Football Focus, as they rate some of these things, or Next Gen Stats, the different companies who pay close attention to some of those, you know, types of metrics. His tackle breaking numbers weren't nearly as high as anticipated during his rookie season. But when you actually watch the Bears games, you see him breaking tackles. To me, in evaluating what I saw from him last year, like I was referencing to you yesterday, stylistically, the decisiveness he ran the ball with, that's more what I had a bigger problem with, because when a tackler was there in position to make a play, he showed an elusiveness to him. He showed the ability, when he just wanted to stick his nose in there and keep his head down, to run through contact as well. And then the ability to catch the ball out of the backfield, just very comfortable, quiet hands. And not only a guy who just receives the ball well as a running back, like Jordan Howard, he got to a point kind of his last season with the Bears and what he showed in Philadelphia this past year, where he became a competent pass receiver. But David Montgomery, he can run routes like a wide out. He can turn his hips to adjust to the ball in flight in a similar fashion with some wide receivers. So that, I think, showed itself throughout his rookie season as well. He didn't get the ball as a pass receiver as much as I'm sure Matt Nagy would have liked to get him. The Bears just weren't running that many plays in a lot of games and extending drives. But the skill set that we saw from David Montgomery in college, I think the physicality he can run with was there, and certainly the pass receiving skills we saw in a bit of more of a limited dose, he'll need to progress with his decisiveness. And I think we saw some signs of that late in the season. And the games where he did get more carries, I thought he ran the ball pretty well as the game wore on also. So I'm not down on David Montgomery yet. I don't think he's a guy who's like a perennial Pro Bowler. I think he's a part. He should be a piece of a great backfield, but he certainly is a guy that I think can be a piece of a great backfield. But is he a guy that you build your entire running game around solely? No, I don't think he's that.
From Montgomery to Mitchell Trubisky, and let's talk to Aaron, who's been waiting. He is on I-88. What's going on, Aaron? You're on the Score with Grody and Heron.
I don't know. All these quarterback games that everybody's getting excited about, I'm not. And my problem is, I don't know what Mitch Trubisky is. I don't know if he's Lieutenant Dan or if he's Forrest Gump, and the coach is Lieutenant Dan or Forrest Gump. Because to me, you come on TV and you say he can't read defenses, but you're the teacher. And I don't know that Nagy is calling plays to put this man in a position to win. Like, you just highlighted very elegantly how good this running back could be and how much he broke tackles. And then in the same breath, we have to say, well, he didn't get out of plays, but who's calling those plays?
Aaron, thanks for the call, man. Your phone's splashing just a little bit, but I appreciate you waiting.
Got
I appreciate
the gist
you calling.
Of it, right?
Didn't Lieutenant Dan run out of arms and legs?
He definitely ran out of legs.
Okay. Like, at some point in time, he was just stumps, wasn't he?
The legs were the issue for Lieutenant Dan, if I'm remembering Forrest Gump correctly.
So I don't know.
Maybe there was a director's cut of Forrest Gump that you checked out where he didn't have any arms either. Could be. I'd be willing to watch that if it existed. But to the point that the caller Aaron was making about Trubisky and his development, about David Montgomery, about the entire offense in their development, yes, this comes down to not only the talent, the physical traits of the players that you bring in, because I think I saw enough to feel definitively those physical traits for David Montgomery were there for success in the NFL, potentially even high-level success. But And going beyond that, the teaching of the quarterback position, the calling of plays associated with the Bears offense game, then that is the concern that should be there for Matt Nagy, for this Bears offense, and how some of the young, talented guys. You throw Anthony Miller into that mix. There's some corollaries I see between the last couple of seasons of Anthony Miller and of quarterback Mitch Trubisky, because there were times where you saw Anthony Miller, especially later in the season as Taylor Gabriel got injured and we saw him have to step more into that number two wide receiver role. We saw Anthony Miller get to a point where the Bears offense had to feature him more at certain times, and he was able to rise to the occasion. There were still points where the depth of his routes was off. There were still points where he seemed indecisive about what he should even be doing as far as where he lined up and what route he was supposed to run. You would hope, you would think that will continue to grow and be nurtured by Matt Nagy to get Anthony Miller to the point where he can consistently be a threat, where he can consistently be counted on within this offense. Because if Mitch is going to get better at reading coverages and become more decisive and anticipatory as a thrower, he needs to be able to count on where his receivers are going to be. And Anthony Miller's role within that route tree has to be big for them, because if they do move on from Taylor Gabriel, then you would think Anthony Miller is the guy who will have to emerge alongside Allen Robinson as the number two receiver in this offense, especially, you know, if there's a tight end who's developed in that spot in a more consistent way, if Trey Burton gets healthy, that's great. But you will still need a number two receiver who can be a big play threat, who can, you know, threaten defenses in a manner that they have to game plan around. And Anthony Miller has to know what he's doing to be that.
Yeah, jury's still way out on the Georgia guys. That is Javon Wims and Riley Ridley. And I know everybody
wants Leonard Floyd maybe too. Yeah. There's a lot of Georgia guys who are still waiting to see what they can really be.
I think you know what you got in Roquan Smith, and that's pretty damn good football player. Yeah. But you're right. Yeah, no, the Georgia contingency on this Bears team are right now, they are suspect. They have shown Wims has shown flashes. Like the thing
especially
about
his rookie year.
Yeah, the thing about Javon Wims is he's a big guy and he doesn't always play like a big guy. Like he's been given opportunities on the go up and get it tree, and he doesn't always go up and get it. And like more times than not, last year I saw him not get it. And I know he's capable of it. And I know, and look, he's a seventh round pick. So I'm not like saying that this guy should be optimal at this point or the expectation level should be at a 10. But that's what you have to get out of Wims, because he's not a blazer, nor is Riley Ridley. Ridley, you know, his season to some degree was hijacked as early as Bourbonnais training camp when he was injured and missing, like I have learned in my 2 years covering the NFL on an everyday basis, that means a ton. When you miss training camp days and you're a rookie, especially a receiver in what is a complicated offense, that messes you up. And I think it did mess up Riley Ridley this year. Although, I mean, he was fine when he got in at times, but I have no idea what Riley Ridley is. I mean, and more should be expected out of him because he is a fourth round pick.
And for the entire receiver core and what they can be. I mean, Taylor Gabriel, I was underwhelmed by Taylor Gabriel last season. He's got the nickname Turbo and all those types of things, but I talked a lot throughout the year of a guy with the speed, with the quickness of Taylor Gabriel. I didn't see him separating from defenders as much as I would like to with the frequency that you think this offense would need, especially for a guy who's still, you know, kind of diminutive in stature, but for a deep ball threat, you know, obviously Tyreek Hill for the Chiefs in this very similar offensive system that Matt Nagy learned from Andy Reid. Tyreek Hill is a separator, even though he's not big in stature, but as long as you create space, that's where you can fit the deep ball into some of the smaller targets. If Taylor Gabriel isn't separating from guys, then throwing a speedy guy a deep ball when he hasn't separated from the defender doesn't do you a whole lot of good, because there's still, you don't have to recover. You don't have to make up space. That's where I think, you know, Taylor Gabriel is a name that's come up as a potential, I don't know if cap casualty is really the right term, but the Bears need to create space.
He and
so
Prince.
His name is up there. And then on the defensive end, Prince Amukamara, who he's played better. He played better last season to me than Taylor Gabriel, but he's getting to a point in his career where he's getting more banged up with a little more frequency. The problem there is I don't think there's the definitive replacement as your other starting corner.
Well, they signed the guy from, and I can't think of not being able to pull his name right now, the guy from ISU, Illinois State. He played the Canadian Football League this past year. Mm-hmm. Can't think of his name. What's his name?
Trey Roberson.
Thank you, Herb. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if he's starter material. I have no idea, but that definitely adds to it. Kevin Tolliver is a guy who, again, you know, as far as the stock.
Showed some promise.
Yeah, I mean, showed some promise. I mean, this is a guy who was, you know, undrafted out of LSU. And, I think promise is the right word. Do you start him? I don't know. They certainly started to do that at the end of the year, even when Prince Amukamara was not hurt, just because of what you're foreshadowing right now, the potential of Prince not being around. In the overall, Prince Amukamara has been an excellent signing. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not been a great player, but he's been a good player for the Bears and has done his job, and he's got a Pro Bowler on the other side, obviously. From the 815, geez, Grody. LOL, take it easy on my boy, Lieutenant Dan. He ran out of legs. I don't know what to tell you.
Until he got, what was it, magic legs at the end, did Forrest refer? You got magic legs. Didn't that come up at the end of the movie?
I have not seen Forrest Gump in so long. Mm. There was a Jenny involved.
I'm pretty sure, text line, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was magic legs Forrest referred to later on in the film.
Very well
could. Yeah, when he had the, you know, I don't know, whatever they call the fake legs.
Prosthetics.
Yeah, when he had the prosthetics going. Yeah. I think Forrest referred to them as magic legs.
Okay, magic legs.
The arms, I believe, were OG, though. I think those were the OG arms that Lieutenant Dan had.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I just remember, his... His legs, were non-existent. I finished watching over the last 2 days. Have you seen, speaking of Tom Hanks, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood?
I haven't yet, no. Movie? What were your thoughts on that one?
Well, I didn't really like it that much. No? I think I found out, Mr. Rogers seemed like a delightful man. Mm-hmm. I think the problem was...
Are you going to be conscious of spoilers here for anyone who's...
No. I'm simply going to... give you my theory on why. Okay. I think maybe in this case I didn't like it. Sometimes everything is context, time, and place. Mm-hmm. In this particular case, I have been, for the third time in my life, I have been binge-watching Breaking Bad.
Okay.
And I don't know if you've seen Breaking Bad.
A series that I haven't watched that I want to prioritize watching at some point because my vision is that I'm going to thoroughly enjoy it. I just haven't gotten around to
it. It's intense.
Yet.
You feel danger watching it. It's scary at times. It's dead serious. It's action.
Whereas Game of Thrones, I may see it at some point, but I've got no interest in prioritizing it. Although I know the world was into it.
No, I thought as far as Game of Thrones is concerned, I was like you because that whole genre does not interest me.
I'm into the genre.
Really?
Okay.
No, it's great. It's great though. But watching Breaking Bad and then going right from Breaking Bad to Mr. Rogers, little bit
just
too
diametrically opposed.
Yeah, I think
you want a harder edge to Mr. Rogers.
I guess it's like going from a 10 to a 1 in terms of the entire feel and demeanor of the movie.
Were you bored? Was that the issue?
I guess so.
Okay,
I guess so. So I think I made a viewing mistake to have watched or have been over the last, I don't know, a couple weeks rewatching.
But if they did a Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood as a full feature film,
this?
You'd be all into that. Okay, that'd have a little more edge to it.
You know, imagine that I would be all over that. Mm. That would be, that's a slam dunk, my friend.
Yeah, I did finally get around to, because I don't have a Netflix account, but I did finally get around to The Irishman, which took a big chunk of my life away. I wish it would have taken less.
So you watched the first season of The Irishman.
Right, okay. Yeah. I did finally get around to that. Marriage Story was one that I watched that was, especially for not only being married, but then having a young child, that there were points of that which is really difficult to watch. But there was enough uplifting moments in Marriage Story where I felt fine about it in the end. But it was a difficult watch at certain times. But I thought a good movie, I think the performances in the movie were better than the movie itself.
Nailed
it. But I liked it.
You nailed it. Yeah, man. I think that's like a great movie of the week kind of movie. That was not a Best Picture candidate
in
my mind.
I was surprised by that.
Far from it. Yeah, some great dramatic in-the-room acting between Adam Driver and
Scarlett Johansson.
Scarlett Johansson.
ScarJo.
Yeah. But the entire movie is not memorable. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's for sure. And I guess maybe one relates to it more if you're married, which I am not, but I would imagine that as, I don't know,
should be relatable beyond.
Yeah, relatable, but isn't it like a horror story if you're married and you're sitting there, I presumably Anthony Heron, a happily married man with a beautiful baby
very much so.
A beautiful bishop baby boy. Uh-huh. And if you're watching that seems like a horrible movie to watch.
Me and the wife were watching it together, and as the movie continued, we just continued to hug each other more and more closely throughout the film because it is an uncomfortable watch, and you're thinking about little moments that may relate to stuff that's happened, especially like we've been together, I don't know, a couple of decades at this point. We were teenagers when we started dating and then early 20s when we got married. So we've been together for quite a while. So everybody's got their moments when you've been together with somebody for a long time. So you're looking at how that's playing out and it feels like certain things are hitting close to home. And then the element of having the child in there as things are breaking apart too. Yeah, it was tough, but I don't mind a movie being tough to watch at times especially if I feel like there is some element of uplift in there, which some other movies don't have that. Like, what was it? Manchester by the Sea. No uplift at all. No. Nobody to root for dark, in that dark, movie. Dark, nothing that made dark. Me chuckle or laugh or relate to or anything. That one, I could never see that one again and have zero problem. Marriage Story, I probably won't watch again, but I would recommend it. I don't even recommend Manchester by the Sea to people.
That's a good call. Yeah, recommendable, but yeah, I would never watch that movie again either. There are certain movies like that which you could call good and entertaining, but you just would never
like
watch
Leaving
them.
Las Vegas. I'm not going to watch that one again. You know, I'm really into Elizabeth Shue, Nicolas Cage. I don't have a problem with, even though his career went the way his career ended up going, but he was a great actor at that point. It's a quality film with some really good acting in it, but man, the entire movie is a downer and just ends on a huge thud.
We got to take a break here in a second. Quickly, though, Grody, your thoughts on Better Call Saul. Overall, I like it. It moves a little bit too slowly, like the episodes. Okay. Like, there's only like two or three things that seem to happen in every episode, and I think that's some of the style of Vince Gilligan because he saw some of that throughout Breaking Bad. But it just like, and I like it. Like I do, and I have not seen the last two seasons yet of Better Call Saul. So I promise you, I will watch it. I would use the word I like it. I don't think it's great just because I think it moves a little bit too slowly. You don't get enough bang for your buck. All right, we got to take a break. It's Mark Grody and Anthony Herron. We're in for Lawrence Holmes. Coming up next, it is the McNeil and Parkin Show featuring today Nick Shepkowski along with Matt. On Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Mark Grody, Anthony Herron, in for Lawrence Holmes here on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Nick Shepkowski, Dan McNeil will be coming up next. We'll talk to those two fellows here just a little bit. Lots of great entries for movies. We just kind of mentioned in passing about movies that you can only watch. They're good, but you wouldn't want to watch them again. Requiem for a Dream, Schindler's List. An excellent example. Somebody said the Revenant. The Revenant, for some reason, I don't know. Like, I get it, because Revenant is long. It is trying. It feels arduous. And, you know, it feels like a watch-it-once movie. But for some reason, when I was on the Cubs tour and I was on the flights,
just watched it on
I
repeat.
Kept every time. Again. I don't know. I was really intrigued with it, like certain parts of it. So, for some reason, that was one that I kept watching over and over on the Cubs
I haven't flights. Watched it again, but I wouldn't mind. Watching it again, you know, it's going to take a chunk of time out of your life to get through that one a second time also, but it's not one of those where I feel like I'm avoiding it per se like I am with certain movies.
The Cubs and White Sox both have games tomorrow. They open up Cactus League play. You got Ronaldo Lopez going for the Sox, Alec Mills starting for the Cubs, and Marquee Network getting going. Marquee Network, they have hired everybody. Like, if you have not been hired by Marquee Network, you should feel bad about yourself, because everybody has been hired by Marquee Network.
From what I understand from the folks at Marquee, not just a baseball network, a sports network. So we'll see how that ends up progressing.
Hey, man, it sounds like they're doing great things. They've got Hulu on board, but until Comcast and 2 million people are on board, then I don't know how much it matters how great they are.
Who you blaming? You blame Marquee?
I don't know.
Who
am I supposed to be mad at? Who am I mad at? I was thinking about that. Yeah. I don't know who to be angry with. I do have Comcast.
Let's blame Rob Manfred.
There you go.
It's probably his fault.
Rob Manfred, and we'll blame various Houston Astros players. We got McNeil and Parkins coming up next here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.